Hey, I'm Trevor Loy, and I'm the lead pastor at Terrace Foursquare Church. We're so grateful that you've tuned in with us for this podcast. Terrace Foursquare is a church that is on mission with Jesus to transform lives. So if you need any more information about our church or about our messages, please go to our website, to terracefoursquare.org, and that's where you can find it or get in contact with us. So we hope that you would enjoy our teaching today.
Pastor Ben, come on up and take about 5 minutes to get all the way up here. No, Pastor Ben is very close. Him and Bridget have been so close. They're family to me, and Erica have been. I've known them for 10 years, maybe more than that, I think. He was my intern teacher when he was my age, and so it was awesome. And that he's just been faithful, a faithful discipler and mentor of mine, and continues to be. And he's a person that we need in our church. We need his voice, and I believe that he's a prophetic voice to us. And what I mean by that is in Ephesians chapter 4, I won't go on a full teaching, that'd take a long time, so I'll just give you 1 minute. In Ephesians 4, there's something called the fivefold ministry. It means yes, thank you, take a seat, go ahead, take a seat. There's an apostle, there's the prophet, there's an evangelist, there's a pastor and a teacher, and they carry a mantle, or they carry an office, a responsibility to the church. And I really believe that Pastor Ben has the office of a prophet. And I believe that his voice, as he prays and he goes to churches, he is this to many. And he is that to me and to this house, our people. And so I believe, I asked him, I go, can you pray and just get a fresh word as we go into year two? Would you get a fresh word from the Lord to encourage us, to exhort us onward? And he said, absolutely. And so we're grateful to have him. And so I'm eager to hear and eager to receive what God's going to do through him. So would you give it up for Pastor Ben? Woo!
Thanks, love you. Hey, good morning. Not very good. Bad morning? How to get your response. Really glad to be here. I love Pastor Trevor, Erica, and the team. A lot of you guys, I know, not everybody, but there are many of you here that I consider family, friends, so it's an honor to be among you this morning. And what I want to do is have you open your Bible to Matthew chapter 9, if you have a Bible. I do believe it'll be on the screen. I want to give you a disclaimer up front that typically I, as Trevor alluded to already, typically I would come to a church and teach, or at my church at Mill Creek Foursquare, I would just teach through a passage. That's a normal thing to do. This morning, it's just going to be quite a bit different, and what I mean by that is just I'm asking for you to kind of hear this in a way where this would impact who you are as a community. As Trevor asked me to pray, I did that, and I'm not saying that everything I'm going to say is from God, but I am saying that I did pray about this for this church specifically, and I believe there's some things in here that are helpful and potentially would give insight. If you consider this church a place that you're growing roots into and becoming a part of, I believe this will be helpful and insightful for the days to come. And so I would ask you to open your heart with me as we do open the word together. The message, it is a message, but it's also kind of a word. It's called faithful to the field. It's a phrase that I've had for Terrace Foursquare Church. Obviously, last year, this church celebrated 1 year together. And when you start a church, I don't know if you know this or not, I'm sure that you can identify with if you've been here for the last 12 months or something like that. When you plant a church in a new place, with a new group of people coming together, you kind of just settle into what you're doing. It's not really like building your foundation. Everybody kind of says when you plant a church, first year you build your foundation. Not really. What you really do is you settle in. Like, hey, we're doing this, right? Like, we're doing this. Like, God wants us to do this, right? You sort of start to own the fact that you are doing what you're doing, and this is right, and this is good. And you get past this sort of 12, 14-month mark, and you realize, like, yeah, we're in this, and God is bringing people's hearts together, and all of a sudden, you start to dream. You cross a threshold, and you really begin to see that the Lord has brought a specific group of people together to make a dent, to make an impact for his kingdom.
And I believe year two, year three is going to lay a foundation. It's going to establish something that the people that call Terrace Foursquare Church their home are going to start building something together. So the next 2 years are going to be a year of building and building foundation as a community, and no longer just as a group of individuals that came from wherever they came to, but now we are a family. I had a vision as I prayed, and I want to share that with you. This will be on the podcast, so I'm certain you can listen to this later to consider it. But this is what happens sometimes when I pray. I get a vision. A vision is simply just a picture, or it's like a movie clip. You see that, and the Lord gives that. It's very clear in Acts chapter 2 and other places in Scripture that this is something that the Lord gives to people as they ask Him to speak to them. And this is what the vision was. As I was praying, I saw a large field with a fence around it, as a field would typically have. And in the field, there were many crops. Now, I'm not a farmer, and I don't live next to a farm, but every now and again, I drive to Monroe, okay? So I know what they look like, but it had a fence around this farm, and or this around this field, and in the field, all the crops, almost all of the crops were like wilted and sort of just laying over on their side. They're not growing up. They're not mature. Nobody's going to go out and harvest this field and produce something that's worth eating. I mean, it was somewhat sad looking and needed to be brought back to life. And as I'm looking at the field, all of a sudden I see one person after another enter into the field, and I could tell that they were workers. And they came to the crops, and just one by one, which is not something naturally we would really do, but they started to like prop up all of these crops and water the crops to see that they would have life again. And this is what I felt like the Lord was saying to me about Terrace Foursquare Church concerning this vision. The Lord is going to use this community to breathe life into those that were once committed and growing in Christ, but for whatever reason stopped. This community will instill a new hunger for growth and spiritual vitality that will become contagious. I see young people here that will also become leaders, and new ways of reaching the community will bring some of the greatest fruit that this church will see. And the Lord has only begun, and the second and third year of this church will establish this community in this city. This is the right city for this place, this group of people to be in. And the city will become an important part of this church, which is exactly why you are here. Now, again, I don't know what stage of commitment that you're in to Terrace Foursquare Church, and I'm not going to bring out a sign-up sheet after my message to try to commit you to something. But there's a prophetic sense that the Lord is doing something a lot bigger than just gathering together on a Sunday. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, whatever we're doing here right now, we're sitting in seats, we're listening to this guy that hasn't been here for quite a long time, and all of that's great. But what happens after this gathering? Is it just a Sunday gathering, or does God have a reason for bringing us together in this room? And what I am saying specifically this morning is He does. That this is not just a group of people that come together on a Sunday and say, see you next week. But this is a family, a community that is on mission together to make an impact, a kingdom impact in this city. And I believe the Lord's going to do something great. And I want to share with you Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and 38 to kind of draw somewhat of a principle for the rest of what I'm going to share today. And this is what it says. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." Now, this is an interesting passage. I've preached it many times. But what I want you to see is the metaphor that Jesus uses here. He's looking out at the people, and he uses the metaphor of the people and really the cities that he's been traveling in where people are. And he's saying that these are fields. These places are fields. And the people in the fields are who he's referring to, that they need to go out and this metaphor he's using, harvest, so to speak. In John chapter 4, Jesus tells the disciples to open their eyes to see the field, which is a reference to Samaria because they didn't like Samaritans.
And so Jesus is helping a woman there as he meets her at the well. And in their mind, they're like, why are you talking to the Samaritan? Why are you talking to this woman? Because they do not have eyes for the person that's right in front of them. And Jesus is looking at Samaria and he tells his disciples, I want you to look out and see all of the fields that are ripe for harvest. The problem is that your eyes aren't open. You don't see all of the people the way that Jesus does, is what he's telling his disciples. I want you to see what I see. I want you to have the compassion that I have when I see the people. Jesus is trying to get his disciples not only to understand something, but to have his heart in the midst of the principles that he's sharing with them. In this passage, Jesus tells his disciples to pray that workers will be sent into the field, which means that they would be sent with the gospel on mission to people or to places for people. And using this metaphor as a field, here's what I'm doing, is I'm calling this church and those who are throwing their lot in to Terrace Foursquare, that we are called to be faithful to the field that God has planted us in. Faithful to the field. And to be faithful to the field, we have to understand what our field is. That's the first part that we need to understand. So what is our field? I want to give you kind of a biblical paradigm for cities, though. Did you know that in Scripture, cities are very important? In fact, we just read it in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. It says, Jesus went from one city to another. And you look in Scripture all over the place, you see that there's this paradigm for us to be on mission. We tend to personalize a lot of the Bible, though, don't we? We tend to look at Scripture as an individual and not as a community, not as a call to the corporate. But you have to remember, 75% of all of the Scripture in New Testament is actually directed at a people and not a person. And that's super important when you think about it, because we tend to quote Scriptures like Philippians chapter 1, where the Bible says that he who began a good work in you will also bring it to completion. Anybody quoted that verse for their life? It's a very powerful verse, but did you know it wasn't written to an individual? He's talking to a group of people. It'd be different if I was talking to Trevor and I'm saying, hey, God's going to finish that thing that he started. And Trevor's like, thank you, that's very encouraging. But if I'm up here and I'm talking to everybody in this room and I say, God is going to complete what he began at Terrace Foursquare, it actually takes on a whole new meaning. And there's a sense of collective ownership that we have now together as a people and not just a person. 75% of the Bible actually is this way, and therefore it takes on a new meaning. And so God is speaking in such a way where he wants us to be aware of the bigger picture of what it is that he's actually doing, and not just what he's doing in us as an individual. It's so important. There's, in the Old Testament, the Promised Land was divided into cities. That was their inheritance. It's like, wasn't silver and gold. It was, you get this plot of land, and you get this plot of land. Paul wrote letters to churches. He wrote letters to the church at Ephesus, the church at Corinth, the church at Thessalonica. He wrote to the church in the city constantly. Jesus, when he addresses his followers in the book of Revelation, he actually writes to seven churches in seven cities. This is this paradigm that I think we can often miss, this concern that we have as a collective group of people called the church for the city. God wants us to reclaim that. As we're called to change cities and regions, you might remember in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus is telling his disciples what's soon to take place, the promise of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He tells them that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. He identifies cities. He's telling them, I don't just want you to touch one or two or three, which as an individual, we might be able to help one, two, or three. But as a group of people, we get to make a serious impact. And that's something to be excited about. It's something that God has called this church to have eyes for. Terrace Foursquare is not a Sunday gathering. It's a committed group of people on mission together. I don't know if you heard that in the short video that we just watched, but I heard it, and it's actually very specific language. And might I say to you this morning that most Christians don't own this. They don't own the collective because we're too focused on the individual. And so in a sense, I want to draw you back to this collective call. We are on mission as an individual everywhere that we go. Like, the Bible actually does refer to the field, so to speak, as the world. Like the field. That's God's field, though. Our field is what God's called us to target together.
As an individual, everywhere you go is the field that God's called you. He's planted you in. Your neighbors, your coworkers, your world. But as a group of people, we have a mission together that we have to own. This city is our field. God has a purpose for Terrace Foursquare being here and you being a part of it. Mount Lake Terrace is a city that covers 4.17 square miles. It's not a whole lot of farm area, if you know what I'm saying. 22,000 residents. It's kind of a commuter city. A lot of us don't live in this city, and yet here we are this morning on Sunday. It's an interesting thing, I think, to think about. I did the math, and, well, actually, you look at some of the demographics. Over 20 languages are spoken. You know, there's 4 elementary schools in the city limits, but there's only 1 high school and no middle schools. That's not including private schools. It's interesting that the generation that is coming up right now is quadrupling what we currently have. It's like, get ready, because there are a whole lot more people than we currently see right now. They're called little people. They're called little people, and we are paying for them right now. Me currently, my wife and I have our fair share. But if you're committed to this church, what I'm calling for this morning is to have a mindset. It's to have a certain mindset. And here's what I mean. If we understand our field, that is Mount Lake Terrace, we have to own that. We have to own that. That's the first step. If this is our field, God has us here, and it's not just that we show up on a Sunday, but it's more than that, then we have to own it. If we're going to be faithful to the field, we're going to own it. And speaking of ownership, I'm referring to our mindset. We buy in, we acknowledge, we admit, we confess, we pray into. This is where God has planted us. We put the stake in the ground. It's immovable. It's who we are, and it's what we do. We own it. If this church is going to have a significant impact in this city, it's going to be because of ownership. It's going to be because of ownership. Now, if you think about it, ownership brings with it a whole lot of things. It provides perspective. It brings sensitivity and awareness. It gives vision. It takes responsibility for problems and seeks solutions at its own expense. That's what ownership does. Ben, what do you mean by that? I remember when I was a young guy and my dad became a landlord. He would buy properties or property manage for other people. And I remember the first time my dad took me to a property that somebody had recently vacated, and it was super ransacked. I mean, this place was trashed. Whoever it was that had lived there not only lived in a way that I didn't understand as a young person, I'd never seen anybody live like this. I mean, and we're talking super trashed, right? I mean, if you had children, you wouldn't have children any longer if DSHS, if I said that right, if they found out that this is the way the children were. It was really, really bad. And as a young kid, I walked into the house and I go, how do people live like this? And why did they leave the house like this, Dad? And my dad, I don't remember his answer, but he tried to walk me through how some people just, can have that kind of mindset. He was fairly gracious, I think, at the time. But my point is that the people that lived there didn't own it. They didn't care. It didn't bother them that they left this place in disrepair. It didn't bother them that they left a mess for somebody on the way out, because they didn't own it. They didn't have to take responsibility for it. They didn't have to clean it up. It kind of reminds me a little bit more personally, like my own family, bring it sort of close to home here, is that 11 years ago, my wife Bridget and I moved into our house that we currently live in. I think it was 11 years ago. And we bought new carpet, you understand. And we paid $5,600. I remember how much the bill was to this day. It was $5,600. We wrote the check, you understand. We wrote the check. And we had children, and we still do, thank God. We still got them. They're still breathing. But that's half the battle right there, you understand? You see. And so we get new carpet, and we become a shoes-off community just based on the fact that I paid $5,600, and it might as well have gold in it, as far as I'm concerned. And so one day, I remember that one of my unnamed sons decided that he didn't have to take off his shoes to walk on the $5,600 carpet. And, you know, he got that look that I got sometimes, that unsanctified, non-Christian, this reason why I sing the song, Be More Like You, Jesus, kind of look from me. It's unsanctified. I got to use big words I don't understand to even tell you what kind of look it was. And I told him in a different tone, what are you doing? And
and he did the deer in the headlights thing, that he was caught with his shoes on. And then I remember the day when that same unnamed child, if I can make Trevor laugh, it's a good day. That same unnamed child, for some reason, welcomed someone into our home and told them that it didn't matter if they didn't take their shoes off. Just told them. I was right there. At this point, I'm not even sure if they knew if I was there or not. To this day, I couldn't tell you. But they told the person entering our home with the $5,600 carpet that they didn't have to take their shoes. I don't care if you're the president. You take your shoes off in my house, okay? And if that offends you, don't come in, all right? So that's the way. We'll get those, like, slippers. Like for real estate, you just get those blue slippers. We'll have them for you. I can't take my shoes, fine, we'll put the slippers on. We'll do something for you. But my point is that my son, unnamed son, didn't pay for the carpet. He didn't own the carpet. Now, one of the things that Bridget and I have tried to do over the years is to help our kids understand that this is their home, but it's not their home if they don't treat it like it. So I'll ask them, like, is this your home? And they'll say, yeah. And I go, and I will say to my kids, you're not acting like it. So when you start to act like it, then it becomes your home. You need to have some ownership in this home. We want to take care. It can't just be me chasing you around so that we take care of this. You have to have some ownership. And until you do, you're going to have your own rules and you're going to have your own vision for how things are supposed to be done. You're living as an individual in a house with a group of people. And my point is that ownership is a mindset that causes you to take responsibility for things that otherwise you wouldn't take responsibility for. You own it. It's who you are and it's what you do. And this is so important as a church because what we're saying is that we need to be faithful to the field that God has planted us in called Mount Lake Terrace. But unless we own that this is our field, we won't. We won't come here. We won't buy coffee here. We won't get dry cleaning here. We won't consider moving here. And we won't pray for the people that live in this city. It won't happen until there's a mindset shift and ownership takes place. And I'm not saying that you should feel guilty if you don't have it, but I want to inspire you to obtain it. It's a decision that we have to make and say, I want to make an impact in this city. And I did the math. If there's 100 people in this room, it would take 8 years if every person in this room would reach one person a year, and then those people would reach one person a year. If that multiplied in that sort of numeric way, it would take 8 years to reach more than 22,000 people in this city. Now, to me, that sounds like game on. You understand? It sounds like game on, but none of that is, it's just a math equation that sort of gets lost in the fray of why we're here and what we're about if we don't realize we have to own this. Like, this is my city. Even if you don't live in this city, God has called you to be a part of this. Right? God's called you to be a part of this. You own that God has not just called you to attend this church, but that you're on mission with Terrace Foursquare to bring the message and the ministry of Jesus to this city. And that is what it takes to start praying for this city. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands of how many people pray for the people in this city, but I guarantee it's not many. And it's not to guilt you, but it's to say, let's grab a vision that's bigger than ourselves, right? Let's take this thing like we are the planting of the Lord, and the Lord said, hey, I'm going to take you guys, and like a seed, I'm going to plant you here. You're from all of these places, all of these walks of life. You come with all different stories, all different backgrounds, gifting, skills, and all of that. And I'm going to take you, and I'm going to plant you right in the center of this city, and I'm going to use you in a powerful way to bring the gospel and the message and the ministry of Jesus to the people of this city. They don't know what they're in for yet. You know, the Lord doesn't need another church in another city where people just go to. He wants people to be on mission in that place. I believe that's what you, when you read the Bible, you can't read it very long without seeing the clear call that the Lord has to plant us in a place to minister to a people. Otherwise, it just becomes random. Do we want to own the field or do we want to drive and visit the field once a week? We want to own it. We want to work in it. We want to cultivate it. We want to be a part of it. So that also means that we have to not just own the field, but we've got to sow into the field. To be faithful to the field that God's planted us in, we have to sow into the field.
And that's what an ownership mindset will lead us to. And that means we give our time and our talent and our treasure. And this is what we sow in the natural, but in spiritually speaking, we sow the word of God. Spiritually speaking, we sow the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Look what Paul said to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. He's helping them through some disputes and some serious divisions that they have. And he says this, what, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? These are the guys they're kind of fighting over of like, who's the mentor of who? Who's the baptizer of who? And they're all sort of ascribing themselves to these different individuals. And he's kind of rebuking them. I don't even think softly. But he's saying, what after all is Apollos and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned each to his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants or he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field of what God is building. This is so important. I want to highlight just one simple part of that, and that is Paul looks at his ministry like sowing seeds. I mean, you guys remember the fanny pack? It's kind of coming back for some strange reason I cannot understand. But they've got a Gucci fanny pack I even see these days. Anyways, you know what I'm talking about. They have it's like a seed bag, you understand? And it's that Paul is saying he's got the fanny pack filled with seeds, the word of God. And he's saying we need to sow the seed that God has given us into the place that he's planted us. He looked at his ministry that it was sowing seeds, and he actually goes as far as saying, like, hey, listen, the one that sows and the one that waters is nothing. God's the one that causes the increase. We can't make somebody say yes to Jesus. We can't make a miracle happen. I can't whip up a miracle. I can't whip out a prophecy. The only thing that we can do is humbly come before God and say, use my life. Use my life, Lord. Whatever you can do, Lord, use my life. And we come together in this place and we say, together, whatever you want to use us to do, Lord, use my life. You know, this life is going to go by so fast, and the Lord wants us to take every day to sow into this community. And that is inviting people into friendship and family, and what we sow, God will make it grow. And that rhymes so you know that it's right. Powerful stuff. What we sow into this season will grow into the next season. What are we doing right now that we're sowing into the ground that will cause life to emerge? What are the things that we are sacrificing in the name of Jesus to say, Lord, this is all I got, but make it something in Mount Lake Terrace? Maybe it's just if you live in Linwood or if you live farther away, but every now and again you're driving into the city and you're going to the coffee shop. For me, I live in Silver Firs area. Our church is Mill Creek Foursquare. I had to go get a membership at Planet Fitness. Now, I love Planet Fitness. You know why? Because there's no judgment there. And on my way in, I can stick my hand into the Tootsie Roll bucket and pull a whole thing of Tootsie Rolls and stuff them in my pocket and not feel bad about it, you know? I'm going to go work this off. That's all I'm doing. I'm maintaining. I'm not getting anywhere, but I feel okay about it because the person next to me just winks. That's all we do. We don't know why we're there. We don't even know how to use half the machines. Those are my people, you understand? In Mill Creek. Those are my people. I can't go to no LA Fitness where they grunt and drop stuff on the ground. I can't reach anybody like that. I don't understand you, okay? It's just not who I am. They're not my people. They're not. So I go to Planet Fitness. They got Donut Tuesday and Pizza Thursday. That feels like a place I want to call home. And I feel like I can reach people there, but it's in my community. And I want to sow. One of the ways that I sow into that place, it sounds silly and it's funny. I learned this from Trevor. It's the funnies. But I learned the names of the people that work there. I look them in the eye. I genuinely tell them that I want them to have a nice day. These are just small things, but do we do that? Do we look people in the eye? Do we learn their name? Do we ask them questions? Do we do basic socializing, right? Not just to get something that we want, but to genuinely be interested in another person. Because you know what? I am planted here
with the message of the gospel of Jesus, and I don't know how I'm going to get it to you, but I genuinely care about you. And you're in this city, the city that God has given to us. And I want you to be one of us. I want you to be one of our family members. I care about that. So I had to go get a gym membership. And then I had to go and I have to be a regular at Starbucks, which I, of course, don't mind, because if you get a nitro cold brew, it'll change your life. It just will. I didn't get one this morning because I did that last week. I went to preach at Mill Creek. I was preaching at the other church, and I drank a nitro cold brew before I did two services. And let me just tell you, that message was different than it was supposed to be. Now, I'm being honest with you here, okay? I don't take medication in the morning or the night before for those reasons, but that was worse. So be careful with that. But my point was that I learned their names. And there's a gal there that I've been ministering to, and I know her and I have a lot of differences. I mean, theologically, philosophically, but I have genuine interest and love for this woman. And I'm just trying to find a way where it's not creepy to, you know, convey a lot of that. She's amazing. And there's all of these people that are working there, and they're great. So one of the things that you can do is you can give generously. You can give them tips. You can treat them well. You can ask them about how their day is doing. I've already gotten to share my testimony. And the other thing that I do is I get my hair cut. I don't have a lot of hair left, but I go to Sports Clips. And my goal is to tell every person that I get to sit with my testimony about coming to Jesus. That is my goal. I've already decided before I sit in their chair that this is going to happen if the Lord somehow allows it. But I am intentionally looking for an on-ramp to talk to these people. That's what I'm looking for. I've decided it before I've sat in your chair. When you ask me how I'm doing, I am going to let you know. And I'm going to give you a big tip, even if you don't cut my hair well, because quite frankly, I don't tell them this, but I don't really care because there's not a lot there. And that's my heart. So I asked them about their children, and God has opened up so many doors. Just the other day, I went to get my hair cut, and I got to talk to a gal there. It was incredible. You know, I've had people say, man, I've got goosebumps right now. Non-Christian. I've got goosebumps. Like, I'm like, yeah, isn't that great? Like, I don't, but that's great, you know, that you do. Like, something is happening. I tell them miraculous stories about things that I've seen, and they love it. I've had doors open where I've had people that were struggling with kind of demonic stuff in their home. Or there was a gal that I was talking to at one of the hair cutting places that I went to, and I told her a story of miracles. And she said, can I have my sister call you? And I said, please do. And her sister, I mean, none of these people love Jesus. They're not Christians. And she actually ended up coming up to the church, and I got to lay hands on her and pray for her and share for 20 minutes about who Jesus was. And the only reason that happened was because I was generous with my story. I was generous with my story. I'm a nobody that encountered God, and I tell everybody about it. And as a result of that, I get these weird things that happen. I think some people actually think I'm weird, but all that really happens is weird things happen to me. I don't know how. I mean, I'm praying for a gal in my office that's never been to a church before because her sister cut my hair, and I told her a story of miracles, and she sent her sister to meet with me at the church telling me she's never been in a church before, and I got to lay hands on her and pray for her. Now, I won't tell you the after party of what happened there because you might not believe me, but anyways, it's interesting. What I'm saying is that we have to sow into the field that God has planted us. And I'm just telling you practical things that I do because I own it. I own it. We have to own it. And again, you don't have to live here to own the field and to sow into it. God will resource this church according to its mission. God will resource this church according to its mission. If there were 15 to 20 people that stood up in this auditorium and said, we are going to go after Mount Lake Terrace for the next 40 years, whatever it takes, God would supply you with money. God would supply you with material. God would supply you with people. God would supply you with everything that you need. And here's what I'm trying to say is that he resources the people that take a stand and say the people of this city are going to know about Jesus if I have something to say about it. That's what happens. I'm excited to see what would happen. I mean, I'm not part of your community. He just asked me to come and pray over it, and that's what I've done. you go get your hair cut in places. I think it's interesting how, you know, sometimes we will gravitate towards the thing that's most comfortable is what we end up doing. And we do this in many ways, not only in cities, but we also do this in ethnicities. We do this in genders. We do this all across the board. And I've had to help people see that. I've had to have help to see that. We go to what's comfortable for us, right? We tend to do that. The Lord wants us to be uncomfortable, and the power of God falls on those kinds of scenarios. People ask me all the time, Ben, why don't we see more power in the church? God is not a package that we can perfectly make him the way we want him to be. He calls us out into the waters, and he'll make us stand. And that's exactly what happens. He'll resource a person as they step out in faith. We're already here a year out right now. We are a year out onto the water. Mount Lake Terrace Foursquare, we're a year out. But the second year could unfold things that we didn't even pray for or dream of, because God will resource us. He'll resource this community of people by faith. Let me read, in closing, let me read this to you. If I could have, Rachel, can you come and play, or is everything shut down? Is business is shut down, or we're open for business? Okay, we're open for business, great. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through 38. I'm gonna read this to you again, and I'm closing, and we'll pray. Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. When we see people, do we have compassion on them? Compassion is not just a feeling. It's a feeling that motivates an action. It's so much greater than that. It's so much more powerful. Jesus saw all the people. I feel like sometimes we get annoyed by the crowd. Don't smile if it's you, but you know what I'm saying. He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he says to his disciples, based on what he could see, he looked at people and this is what he saw. And then he looks at his disciples with what his heart and mind is full of. And he says to them this, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. There are a few people that'll actually go and do what I'm doing, say what I'm saying, and be about what I'm about. There are very few people that will do that. There are a lot of people that will follow Jesus for the bread, for the miracle, for the thing that they want and they need in their life. But what Jesus was trying to do with his disciples consistently and continually is shift their mindset, shift their eyes so that they could see what he saw, so that they could feel what he felt, so that they could carry what he was carrying. Jesus didn't just want them to believe in him and follow him. He wanted them to be like him and do like him. The world has changed because of people that decide to stand up, to be like the one that they're following. Jesus says to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are very few. So here's what I want you to do, he says to the disciples. I want you to ask the Lord of the harvest. I want you to ask me. I want you to ask God to send workers into the field. I want you to pray. There's another verse that says, I want you to pray earnestly, earnestly, that the Lord of the harvest would send people into the field. Send people into the schools. Send people to the city council. Send people to the businesses. Send people to the places that are uncomfortable. I want you to pray that God would do that. And you know what's amazing is you look at the next chapter and the very people that get sent are the ones that Jesus is talking to. He tells the disciples, the boys, he says to them, pray that the Lord would send out laborers. And the next verse is, he sent them out. It's awesome. When you start to pray that God would send people out, you become one that he sends out. That's how it works. Half the time, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm gonna say to somebody. I don't know how it's gonna go. I don't know what it's gonna look like. I don't know what it's gonna feel like. But if you can cross the threshold and step past that, your fear, your insecurity, your inconvenience, that sense of comfort that we are so drawn to, if we can step past that one day at a time, one decision at a time, God will do the miraculous. But miracles don't come just because we do Sunday morning. I love Sunday morning. I do. Nobody does more church services than this guy. Nobody. And I am genuinely passionate and excited to gather with God's people. But this is not a museum to talk about what Jesus used to do. This is a power plant of God's presence to produce a people that are razor sharp focused on what it is that they are called to do in this world. And life is going to go by so fast. And at the end of it all, we cannot have that regret. We have to have that hope and expectation that what we're leaving behind is greater than what we could have imagined. Jesus can do that in us. Jesus can do that with us. Faithful to the field. So here's the question that I ask you this morning. Is this your field? I'm not asking if this is your church. And again, if you're in the decision-making stage, I'm not pushing you. Like, here's our sign up and become a member. And, you know, Pastor Trevor's going to do that next week, okay? But that's not, nobody can strong-arm anybody into being family with others, right? Like, we actually get to decide. But to decide to not throw ourselves into the vision of what it is that we're doing here, it's just not a decision. It's not a decision we want to make. Indecision is not a decision we want to make. The longer I do this ministry thing, the more I realize it's not about what I'm doing, it's about who I'm doing it with. And I'll choose who over what any day of the week, because the what stays the same from this city to the next, but it's the who. If we can get over us, and we can silence the voice that we have inside trying to segregate and divide and come together, think about what a unified people can truly do in a city like this of 22,000 people. You got to own the field, and you got to start sowing into the field. It's not a have to, it's a get to. That's a decision that everybody gets to make, and you can't make it under emotional compulsion. You can't make it just at the end of the service. It's something that you have to weigh. This is me. This is what I'm doing. So I commend every person in this room that has made that decision. And I charge you and I challenge you to stay faithful to this thing, because it's those that are faithful become fruitful. This is a long-term thing. It's a long-term play. And let's not be in it for less. Amen. Would you stand this morning as I close? Father, we thank you for your word. And God, I just pray over every person in this place. I pray, God, first that you would provoke our hearts, that you would prompt our hearts, help us to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And God, the last thing that any of us really want here is just to come to church or just to play church. You've called us for so much more than that. And so, God, I pray that you would give us, breathe vision into this room, breathe vision into our hearts. I pray that hopeful expectation would take hold of us, not just as an individual, but as a collective people, that we would start to see what we're doing as a family and as a people. And as a guest in this house, Lord, I pray that you would breathe that vision here and you would strengthen wherever that is in this room, strengthen it. Cause it to be strong. Cause it to grow. We ask, Lord, for Mount Lake Terrace. God, we pray for salvation of Mount Lake Terrace. We pray that every business would be flooded with the love of God, that you would surround this whole city, every business, every place, every school, every house, every neighborhood with a legitimate Christian witness to know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that you love us so much that you gave your son. It's not a fairy tale. It's a transformational story that remains true to this day. And I pray, God, that you would move upon Mount Lake Terrace as a city and that you would commission Terrace Foursquare to be faithful to this field, that you would move in a mighty, mighty way. So use this church, God, for your glory and your purposes. Bless every person and every family represented here this morning. And give us your heart, your vision, we pray in Jesus' name.
Thanks so much for tuning in with us today on our podcast. We really care about you, and we hope that you are encouraged by the Lord today and challenged to live with him on mission more and more. If you need prayer, or if you want to contact us for whatever reason, you can go ahead to our website at terraceforshore.org, and we'd love to hear from you. We hope you have a great week.